What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, what's up, you guys, and welcome to the 16th episode of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks. If you're new here, I am a mental health advocate, a coach, and an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for listening. So I'm really excited for this episode because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, bodybuilding. My first show as an NPC bikini competitor was in 2021. It's 2024 now, so I've been competing about 3 years. Technically, I'm still a baby in the sport, but I have a lot of interesting stories that I can share with you guys, as well as insight on what you should be focusing on as a first-time bikini competitor. This episode would be super helpful for anyone interested in learning more about bodybuilding, the bikini division in specific, since that's what I do, first-time competitors, or those with more experience in the sport, just wanting to better their competing career or become a better athlete. If you missed last week's episode, be sure you check it out. It was a fun one. Episode number 15 was all about what you should be focusing on as a beginner lifter. So I wanted to create a separate episode today, catered more towards experienced individuals in the bodybuilding community or just girls thinking about getting on stage. This is, again, an area that I probably have the most knowledge and experience with, and the area that I'm for sure the most passionate about. Ever since I started bodybuilding, it has become such a big part of my life and taught me so many life lessons. So I just encourage you, if you are interested in competing, don't be afraid to start a bodybuilding prep. There are so many benefits as to why. It's going to help you gain mental strength and physical strength. You'll understand macros, nutrition, exercise a lot better. You'll gain a better relationship with yourself and make more connections with some pretty cool people. Anyone who's in bodybuilding is a hard worker, and a lot of bodybuilders are also pretty cool individuals. So that's always fun. Also, bodybuilding, it helps you gain a lot of self-development skills that you can apply to competition, but also just apply to life. I mean, it's taught me discipline, confidence, perseverance, accountability, so much more. So again, I just encourage you guys to get on stage. And who doesn't want to look shredded? When you're a female and you're less than 10% body fat, it's pretty wild. You feel like a superhero, so it's fun. So let me get started on my first point. If you are new to stage, or again, you're just someone interested in bodybuilding, or you have experience and you're just listening to this podcast because you want to learn more about the sport, the first thing I have to tell you is know your why and have fun with it. And what I mean by this is it's very easy when you are having a specific goal to get caught up in the pressures of it, especially when you're on stage. It can be very nerve-wracking. It can be very overwhelming. You're working your body so hard day in and day out, and it's just kind of taxing on your mind too. So again, it's easy to get caught up in the pressures, but I really encourage you, don't lose your purpose or passion. You know, it's hard because you're in this endless cycle. It's kind of monotonous of eating the same thing every day, but just less of it. You're training in the same way every day. Sometimes it can start to seem like a chore and no longer fun anymore. And that just leads to burnout and lower quality of life. It's kind of similar to what I talked about in last week's episode about as a beginner lifter, you know, enjoying the process. And that's with anything in life, you guys. Enjoy the process of what you're doing and find the value and purpose in your life. And I'll talk to you about a personal experience. This is something that I'm currently going through. I spoke a little bit about this on my last episode as well, but competing is fun, but the higher you get up in the sport and the more you allow it to control your life, the less fun it gets, especially when you're trying to make it, you know, a professional career. So this is something that I've kind of got caught up in, especially the last couple weeks. I even had a conversation on the phone with my mom last night, and I'm like, I just don't feel any passion. I don't feel any desire. I just feel like I'm going through the motions, which for a short time period, that's okay. Right now, I'm about 8 weeks out from my show. So if there's days like that, that's okay. But I really am trying to shift my perspective to why I started this sport and why I started competing and why I compete right now is I love to challenge myself. I love to work hard. I love to be in the gym, to train intensely, to be on stage and present my physique and see it change, and also just to inspire women around the world to not be afraid to do things for themselves and to follow their dreams and to work hard. I would say bodybuilding can be a lot more male dominant, but there's a great female aspect side of things too. So I just encourage you guys again, if you're wanting to get on stage, make sure the first step is know your why, because if your why is just the only reason I want to look good in a bikini, you're not going to last very long in the sport. It's really got to be more than that. And there's going to be times where you have to dig deep. Point number two would be optimize your training and nutrition plan. Now, luckily, when I first started competing, I automatically got a coach. You guys know I've talked about him before. My coach is my coach to this day back home in Alabama. He walked me through this process very well, making sure my training was on point, making sure my nutrition is where it should be. But if you don't have a coach and you're wanting to learn more about where to start, or if you have a coach and you're not so sure about this person, because there are some crazy coaches out there, anyone can be a bodybuilding coach. Just put it in your Instagram bio and you're good to go. There's a big difference in caring about your athletes and being a good coach versus just going through the motions to make money. So if you have a coach and you want to make sure that you're in a good position, or if you're not in a place to where you're going to hire a coach right now, these are the first places I would tell you to start. Starting off with the fundamentals of nutrition. The first step to do is to build a foundation. And what I mean by this is before even starting prep, your overall caloric intake should be high. Energy levels should be in a good spot. Sleep should be, 7 to 9 hours a night. You're resting well. You're getting deep sleep. Stress should be minimal. Cortisol levels should be low. All of those little markers should be in a healthy spot. A big thing that I see with first-time bikini competitors and some athletes that I know and some clients even that I have that are maybe not bikini competitors but just wanting to lean down are they start the fat loss process before they even start the muscle building process. So remember, you guys, if you are wanting to get leaner, which most people are, but you want to still see the dense muscularity there, if you have not built a foundation first, when you lean down, there's not going to be much muscle tissue there. And when you're in a cutting phase, no matter how hard you try to minimize muscle loss, when you're pushing very low body fat percentages, when your calories are very low, sometimes you are going to lose a little bit of muscle mass. You're definitely not going to be putting on muscle mass when you're a couple weeks out from the show. That's very, very unlikely. You want to make sure you have some muscle to show for. Build the muscle before you start the process. Before I started competing in 2021, I spent the year prior to that just building on muscle. I spent the year prior to that learning the basics of nutrition, of macro tracking, of what the functions of protein, fats, and carbs are, and how my body digests and breaks down those nutrients. I learned how to train properly with the right intensity, the right exercises for my body mechanics. And I just encourage you guys to do the same thing. Make sure you're, again, building a very strong foundation before you even start to think about starting that fat loss phase. So say you feel like you've built enough muscle that you are ready to lean down, right? You're starting this fat loss phase. There's a couple things that I do with my clientele and that I would recommend to you based off of my knowledge and experience. So the first thing is you want to make sure you're keeping your protein intake about a gram per pound of lean body mass. So again, this is a pound of protein per pound of lean body mass, not your entire body weight. A lot of people get that confused. Reason being, when you are in a cutting phase, it can be pretty easy to lose muscle. So, if you're cutting your protein intake in half, that's going to be pretty difficult for you to be able to maintain that muscle mass. Now, if there's a couple days you're doing that because maybe it's a higher carbohydrate day or you're doing a refeed day with higher fats and carbohydrates, that's totally okay. But for the most part, when I am coaching someone and in my own training plan and nutrition plan, I keep my protein very similar. I keep my protein intake high. I make sure that I'm using that protein to keep my muscles, joints, and bones very strong and healthy. So that's a very good tip. Now, what you do want to manipulate is your carbs and fats. So when you manipulate your carbohydrate intake and your lipid intake, that is what is going to get you leaner for the most part, to get you to drop body fat for the most part. So you may ask, well, how do I do this? Again, if you don't have a coach or you are just wanting to learn more about why your coach is maybe taking you through this process, what I like to do is start off with as minimal as possible for maximal results. So I try to keep calories as high as I can until I have to start pulling from somewhere. And again, the first step where I'm going to start pulling calories from is not from my protein intake. It's going to be either from my fats or my carbohydrate intake. And I do have the most knowledge with females in the industry, just because I would say most of my clientele is females on the nutrition side of things. And then also I'm a female myself, so I know the female body very, very well. Females should try to keep fats in their diet for as long as possible to optimize their health. Reason being, fats are going to help you regulate your hormones. So, you know, if you have a coach who's right off the bat cutting your fats to, you know, 20, 30 grams, that's way too low. Now, at the end of a competition prep, you're going to need to drop your fats down. You got to do what you got to do to be ready to get on stage. But for the most part, I would try to lean on the side of pulling carbohydrate intake out first before you're pulling fats out. Okay, again, it's just for optimizing that hormone function. Another thing that you should be doing is structuring your carbohydrates around your training time. So carbohydrates are going to be really good for, number one, just giving you energy, but also bringing glycogen into the muscle cells. So this is going to give you better fullness in the muscle when you're training. Again, it's just going to give you better energy production when you are having a very hard training day in the gym, which if you're in a competition prep, your training needs to be hard and good. So I like to, if I am pulling carbohydrates out of a diet for one of my clients or for myself, I like to make sure I'm pulling those carbohydrates maybe closer to bedtime, or I'm pulling those carbohydrates maybe a little bit more in the morning, but I'm making sure that structured around my training time before and after I train, I'm having a sufficient amount of protein and a sufficient amount of carbohydrates for the reasons stated earlier. Now, let's talk about meal structure. The way that you structure your meals is also going to be very, very important. There are so many moving variables. This is a topic that I could go on and on about, but I'm going to try to not bore you guys with too many details and tell you what I feel like you really need to know in the span of a couple minutes. So what I mean by meal structure is your meal timing is very, very important. It kind of goes along with the lines of what I said earlier. So for example, structuring the carbohydrates closer around your training times. You want to make sure before bed, you're not hoarding your calories, you're not hoarding your macros and trying to eat a lot before you go to bed because you are going to feel hungry. When you're in a competition prep, you're going to be hungry. Essentially, what you are doing is starving your body. So you need to be mentally prepared for that. But meal structure could go along the lines of a lot of different things. You know, one thing I really like to do is have a little bit of a lower carbohydrate intake day on the days that I am not training. This is a great tip for someone who is in a caloric surplus at maintenance or just in a caloric deficit. When you are on those training days, you're going to want to really think about using food as fuel, using those extra calories and those extra carbohydrate sources and clean carbs too, you know, sweet potato, jasmine rice, cream of rice, things like that. You're going to want to structure pretty high in those days because you're going to need them. But when you're not training, your energy expenditure is not as high, and you're probably not going to be needing as many carbohydrates on the non-training days. So I am a pretty big fan of like carb cycling sometimes. Again, keeping carbohydrates and just overall calories higher on the days you train, lower on the days that you do not train. That can also help you not put on an excessive amount of body fat. Or again, if you're in a fat loss phase, that can help you lose fat at a little bit faster rate, but still in the healthiest way possible. Of course, if you are doing that, another idea around the meal structure is refeed days, cheat meal days. Those refeeds and cheat meals can be really good for, number one, just keeping your mental health strong. If I have a client who really likes to go out to eat and they feel like that makes them feel better, I'm going to try to include a cheat meal in their plan as long as I can, and maybe just keep calories a little bit lower throughout the week so they can have that cheat meal, because it's going to make them feel better and it's going to make them adherent to their plan. A refeed day, which I spoke about earlier, that's another option. A refeed day is important because that's basically a day to where you manipulate either your your fats or your carbohydrates. Usually I like to keep protein around the same amount, maybe a little bit lower, but you give your body essentially more carbohydrates or more fat or both because your muscle cells are depleted and you're using that extra calorie source and those extra fats and carbs for a specific reason. So this can be very optimal when you've been in a dieting phase for a long time and maybe your body's just not responding and it needs a break, or maybe you're feeling super run down and your workouts are not as good, you're not sleeping as well. All these indicators you really have to look out for as a coach. If you're always in a constant cycle of super low carbs, super low fats, and moderate amount of protein in a caloric deficit, there's going to be a certain point where your body just stalls and you're not going to be able to make a big change in your physique. For example, yesterday I just had a very higher carbohydrate day because I did a low day the previous day before. And that can be really helpful. I had a great workout. My muscles looked very full and I ended up actually dropping like 2 pounds the next day, which is crazy. And it tells me, okay, my body is responding. So you have to really be careful about how you manipulate your nutrition plan. Okay, be smart about that. Moving on to the training side of things. So with training, whether you are about to start a competition prep or you're in a competition prep, training looks pretty similar for me in my off season and in my competing season as far as the exercises in which I'm doing, the intensity in which I'm pushing. Sometimes, you know, the volume can be a little bit greater in my off season and I'm going to be stronger in my off season. Yes, of course, but I'm trying to keep it as similar as possible. But of course, when you're dieting really low, sometimes you can't do that and your lifts are just not going to be as good. But one thing to keep in mind is you have bad days in your off season, you have bad days in your in season. Okay. So try not to get in your head too much there, but the best way to train before starting prep, and honestly, just as you are deep into that competition prep as a bikini competitor, is to train heavy with a moderate amount of volume and, you know, high intensity. So there are a lot of people out there who do these insane amount of volumes that end up just leading to more muscle damage and just your body's not able to recover well. Luckily, I've had some really amazing mentors who have helped me with this concept, but I am someone who is a big advocate in making each rep count and being very deliberate about your exercise selection. So, you know, mistakes that I've made in the past that I don't want you to make. Ask yourself, have you guys ever done this? Because I feel like so many people have. Have you ever done an insane amount of volume and just walked out of the gym and been like, okay, that was way too much. My entire body is in pain. I just trained my legs and my back hurts, my shoulder hurts, my ankle hurts, whatever it may be. You know, you're really not maximizing the lower body training. I used to do an insane amount of volume. A lot of times people call it junk volume. So you may be doing so many sets. By the time you get to that last exercise, you're not even feeling the muscle group anymore. You're just going through the motions. You never want to get yourself to that point. So I want you guys to really learn how to slow things down and make each rep burn. And I want to go through a great example of this as well. So say it's your lower body day. Anytime I'm training legs, and I encourage you guys to do the same, I always like to include a squat variation. So say I am choosing a hack squat, for example. It's a common exercise that I like to do on lower body days. How do I perform this correctly? What I would recommend that you do, and what I do in my own personal training as well, number one, I think about, okay, with this hack squat, what muscle groups in specific am I trying to target? I know it's a lower body movement, so I know I'm going to be hitting my quads, my hamstrings, and my glutes. But as a bikini competitor, you want to focus more on glutes and hamstrings than anything else, most likely. For the most part, those judges are not too worried about your quads as long as they're there. They're worried about you having some nice, well-rounded glutes and some very well-prominent hamstring tie-ins. So I'm going to take a nice and wide stance on that platform. I'm going to angle my toes out just slightly, and I'm going to think about really driving through my heel. Now, what I'm also going to do is I'm going to think about my tempo. On that lowering phase with this hack squat, I'm going to tell myself, okay, every time I come down, I'm going to make sure it takes me 4 seconds to get to the bottom. I'm going to be keeping that muscle under tension for as long as possible until I have to come back up from that rep. And another intensity technique that I'm going to do on the same exercise is I'm going to add a double pulse at the bottom of every single rep for a glute emphasis. So here now is what I'm doing. I'm going to place my feet again, nice and wide, toes angled outwards, high on the platform. I'm going to go down a 4-second negative until I get as much range of motion as possible without feeling my lower back come in. I'm going to bring the weight up about halfway, go straight back down to the bottom, and then come back up to the top under control. So when you're doing that double pulse, that intensity technique, when you're doing that slow negative, another amazing intensity technique for damaging the muscle tissue in the correct way, you are going to be making each rep take, 8 seconds. That's a lot of time under tension for every single rep. Now, on this same set, I'm going to be doing 10 to 12 reps, not a ton of reps, and I'm going to be using a moderate resistance, okay? And I'm only going to do, again, 3 sets, but I'm making each rep as physically demanding as I can. I'm making each rep as hard as possible. This is the difference between doing 3 sets of 10 to 12 and 6 sets of 15 reps, which is what I used to do in the past. You know, I would do 6 sets sometimes, and they'd be crazy volume. I'd be like, all right, I'm going to do 100 reps of these with as minimal rest as possible. That kind of volume is crazy, and it's very taxing on your central nervous system. If you're a natural athlete, or even if you're, advanced, that's going to be pretty hard to recover from. So I really encourage you guys to use that concept of a little bit less volume with a more moderate weight, still challenging, but being purposeful and being intentional about making each rep with perfect execution and really feeling the muscle contracting in the right places. Another topic I want to go over with the training side of things as a competitor is stick with the basics. So I am such a big believer. I love watching videos of old school bodybuilding, seeing these old school bodybuilders in the gym, really lifting, really doing movements that were not super creative, but these guys and these females looked insane because they were doing exercises that fit their body mechanics well. You know, we live in a social media age now that there are so many insane exercises out there. I just had a friend the other day send me a video, and it was a guy doing a leg press regular, and then it went to like a reel and it showed the guy again doing a leg press like pretty much upside down with like his butt in the air, and it was like, influencers do leg presses like this. And I was like, this is so funny. Like, I literally see people in my gym doing this. Y'all, you don't have to do some crazy stuff on that leg press. The best way to do it is just put your legs on the platform and push, So don't try to be the most creative in the world. Have fun with your training, but choose exercises that you feel well, stick with old school bodybuilding, stick with movements executed correctly, and progressively overload in those movements. A lot of people think progressive overload has to do with choosing new exercises and variation. There are many ways to progressive overload, but switching up your exercises every single week is not really a way to progressive overload. Now, when I'm training clients, I do switch up exercises, here and there, but I always stick with the basics. If we're training legs, we're always going to do a squat. We're always going to do some type of leg curl. We're always going to do some single leg movement. If it's a lunge, a step up, something on that realm. So stick with the basics, progressively overload again, not in the way of exercise variety, but progressively overload the weight, use intensity techniques, better your technique. Those are the best ways to progress. Point number 3, optimize your rest and recovery. A lot of people think it's all about just working hard, but it's not. It's also about resting and recovery. And the way I'm kind of getting choked up about this is because I have been the worst about my rest and recovery in the past, and it's still something that I struggle with. Let me start with a personal story. I'm going to take you back to about 8 or 9 months ago when I was laying in my kitchen floor on the tile floor in my 450 square foot apartment. I just got done training legs. I'm laying on the ground in my floor, pretty much aching in pain, feeling like I can barely move after training. This is no exaggeration. I would be in so much pain and I would be so exhausted after I train and just at random parts throughout the day. Now, let me tell you guys, when you're pushing as hard as I am and trying to get your body lean, it's normal for you to have days where you feel pretty shitty. But for it to be every single day, you're laying on the floor and you feel like your joints are in pain, you're overly exhausted, you're just not going to be able to recover, and your training is not going to be as good, and you're just not going to look as great on stage. So the reason I was so tired on this day is because I got up to do fasted cardio, barely slept the night before, probably even the weekend prior to that, I remember I would get up at the same amount of times. Even when I didn't have an early morning client, I would force myself to get out of bed at 5 a.m., 6 a.m. at the same time, because for some reason, if I got up earlier, I was better. I was working harder than everyone else. No one can touch me. And you guys, that is false. You have to prioritize your sleep, number one, from a training, fat loss, and nutrition standpoint, and recovery as well. Sleep is essential to regulating your hunger hormones. You have hunger hormones, many of them, but the main two are ghrelin and leptin. These are two hormones that control your satiety, your feelings of fullness, and your appetite. They help regulate your body weight. Leptin is going to decrease your appetite, while ghrelin increases your appetite. So I remember this because leptin starts with an L. I think leptin low decreases appetite. Ghrelin, on the other hand, starts with a G. So I think your stomach growls, right, with a G when you are hungry. This increases your appetite. Remember those two things. They're very important hormones. This is why when I get up at 5 a.m. versus 7 a.m., I am starving for most of the day because I didn't get enough rest the previous night before. I'm missing 2 hours of sleep, and my hunger hormones are not in the place in which they should be. So you're going to be working hard. You're going to be hungry and prep. There's no way around it, but don't make it harder than it has to be. That's advice I can give you guys as a bikini competitor. Don't miss out on your sleep. Don't stay up later all night binging on Netflix or partying or doing something stupid. Just get your rest so your training will be productive, so you'll be able to lose fat easier, so your hunger hormones will be better, and just so your mood overall will be better as well as your quality of life. Moving on to the recovery aspect of things. I also made the mistake of not prioritizing my recovery in the past. It's still something I'm not the best at, to be honest with you guys. It's just something that takes more time, but it's so vital to your progress. I know that I made the mistake of not stretching post-workout, not getting body work done or massages regularly because I was trying to save money. And I've had some pretty bad experiences trying to get massages here in Miami, some pretty crazy people that I've let in my apartment. So it kind of scarred me, to be honest. So I just kind of gave up there. Luckily, I found a new one now. But that's besides the point, you guys. I'm a frugal person, but I told myself, there's got to be a better way to do this. I've got to be able to prioritize my recovery because I'm feeling bad. So look, you have to prioritize your recovery, because if your body isn't able to recover properly, you're not going to be able to maintain muscle tissue, much less build new muscle tissue. So some of my top tips for recovery that you can do, which are free, number one would be take Epsom salt baths. This will help reduce your soreness. Ice baths are awesome. You don't have to go sit in a cold plunge that costs you $50. You know, you can grab a bag of ice that's $2 from the store, put it in your tub and sit in there for about 15 minutes. That can be amazing for reducing soreness. Making sure that you stretch post-workout, you know, after you train, just take about 10 minutes to perform some static stretching, holding the movements for about 30 seconds each. And also, you know, if you are someone who is trying to be a little bit more affordable, you can foam roll. You can watch YouTube videos for content on how to reduce soreness and self-myofascial release, like foam rolling or trigger point therapy, or use a massage gun. Invest in a massage gun for $50 versus getting a massage every week for $100, right? You're saving a lot of money there and you're still getting somewhat of a benefit. Now, if you do have good finances and you can afford a massage therapist, someone who really knows the body well, someone who can really release that tension in the muscle, someone who can really help you feel your best and perform your best, I definitely recommend doing that if you're able to afford it. But if not, there are ways around it. So just keep that in mind as well. So I know we went over just three tips there, but this episode is getting kind of long and tedious. Again, this is just something I'm very passionate about and could talk to you guys all day. So what I'm going to do is a part two. That's what next week will be on. It will be a part two, just because, again, this is specifically the area in fitness and nutrition that I have the most knowledge and experience in. This is just a start because there is so much to learn in bodybuilding. I have so much to learn. You have so much to learn. And I really want the sport to grow and become more known to people, because bodybuilding, it is a pretty small industry right now. So if this podcast taught you a little bit, if it inspired inspired you as a new competitor to get on stage, or just reminded you to keep the fun in things, be sure you share this with a friend. Rate and review the show would mean so much to me as well. The support that I get, the encouragement that I get, it means so much to me. I want to thank you guys one more time from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate you guys more than words can describe. If you do have any questions on starting a bikini prep or questions about bodybuilding in general, you can always reach out to me through Instagram direct message. IG is YOITSKENSLO. My business account is Fitness for Fortitude. That's FITNESS, the number 4, and then the word Fortitude, FORTITUDE. And if you are interested in one-on-one coaching, you want this process taken out for you, you don't want to worry about training programming, you don't want to worry about structuring your fats and your protein and your carbohydrate intake, as well as your overall calories, I would love to help you in your fitness journey and just be that guide for you as a bikini competitor, because there's a lot of information out there. Again, it's easy to get overwhelmed, especially in this industry. So you can always reach out to me if you're interested in that one-on-one coaching at KinsleyMeeks.com, or you can send me an email at KinsleyMeeksFit@gmail.com, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Before we end today's show, I want to take a voice message from an audience listener. So this one is coming from one of my posing clients. She sent in a question. Thank you so much, Brenna. You are absolutely killing it. She just placed really, really well in her first show of the season. So congrats to you, babe. Posing has improved so much too. Let's see how I can help you.
Hey, Kinsley, it's Brenna. I've been loving your podcast. I do have a question for you. So how can I make my routine not look so rushed? I know it's best to have it smooth and slowed down, so I'd really appreciate some insight on this. Thank you so much.
Okay, so unfortunately, you know, as an amateur, you really only get like 30 seconds on stage to show off this physique that you have worked for, you know, 16 to 20 weeks and really years upon that if you're like me and developing. So you want to make sure that 30 seconds, you are wowing the judges, you are showing them the very best package that you can, right? So I think the biggest tip I have for you in not making it seem so rushed is just to slow down. You know, a lot of times the people backstage are going to be rushing you, and the announcers are going to be calling the other girl while you're still, you know, performing your routine. But take your time. You've worked so hard in developing that physique. I would make sure that you are really embracing every second that you have on stage, posing with confidence, posing with poise. And then you said just to make the routine a little bit more flowy. That's a great word to use as a bikini competitor. You want the routine to all flow together. So I would say really work on your transitions. Make sure you know how to transition from front to back really well and back to front really well, because a lot of times I'll see girls kind of get choked up on the transitions. So keep your routine simple, but also keep it, you know, fun and catered towards your personality, and just let that personality shine through on stage. Hope this helped you, Brenna, and if you need anything else, you know how to reach me. I want to thank you guys one more time. Last time, I promise, for listening to this episode, because it means a lot to me. Wishing you guys the utmost blessings, success, positivity, and mental strength. If you are competing right now, I'm right there with you. I'm like 8 weeks out when you're listening to this episode. So stay strong in your competition journey. If you're not in a journey, start one if it interests you. And again, you guys have an amazing week. Really looking forward to talking to you again next Thursday morning. Talk to y'all soon.